Psalm 27, just a few. You know, I've said it for several different times, several different ways, that I'm really convinced that it's the simple things that we miss as far as our walk with the Lord. They really hinder us from just the life that God wants us to live, you know. And again, the life that He wants us to live is a life that has fruit. And in Galatians 5, verse 22, where you get those fruit, the love, the joy, the meekness, the goodness, the temperance, and the faith. And the great thing about God's fruit, that fruit can grow anywhere. And you can be in any situation, any given time, and you can be, you'll be amazed at how that fruit can grow in its regardless of circumstances, you know. And in Psalm 27, we see a psalm that David had written, and I'm calling this the Declarations of a Strong Servant. The Declarations of a Strong Servant, because God admonishes us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And David makes some statements here in Psalm 27 that just really jumped off the page to me today. And I think it'll be a help to you if we just catch some simple thoughts that we'll think on them. It's things that appear that are loving, a good report, and help us all do that which pleases the Lord. In Psalm 27, in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Father, I pray you'll take this verse that is of eternal worth and of eternal value and of eternal power, and allow us to yield to Thy Holy Spirit, that this living Word might grow in our hearts and be that in our lives which you would have it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Within this verse number 1, David makes three simple statements, declarations about the Lord in reference to his personal life, and statements that if we really reflect on them, it'll help us. The first thing I want you to notice, number 1, in verse 1, is first of all the declaration of light. The declaration of light. Because in verse number 1, he says, "The Lord is my light." And he says, "is my light." He doesn't say, "is a light," but "he's my light." You know, and as you know about light, a couple of ways you can look at it. I remember mentioning a quote. I can't quote it tonight, unfortunately. But he said, a man said he viewed Christianity like he sees the sun, as the sun by which, the light by which he sees everything else. And David said that the Lord is his light. So he says, the Lord is the standard by which everything in his life is viewed. You know, it's not just light opening up so we can see where we want to go. But light, really, without light, we can see, because of light, we can see the color in the chairs. We can see the color in everybody's clothing in here. And we can see different patterns and different things that exist here. And David said, regarding himself, that the Lord is my light. The Lord is that light that when, because of Him, I can really see everything the way that it really is. And I can view it the way it needs to be viewed. I can understand it the way we understand. And that the Lord is that light by Himself. And that's where His values came from. That's where His confidence came from. He said, "The Lord is my light." He opens up the doorway. I mean, light changes things in a lot of different ways. You know, I was thinking of how in his application, when it comes to earthly things, the world uses case studies to determine values. They'll look at this situation. Well, this happened so many times, so we believe that this is going to happen. You know, we're going to, in psychology, they do case studies of individuals because there's no science. There's no medical way to prove or determine some of the different things that are out there. You know, there's no clinical diagnosis for many, for mental illness and conditions. And so they do case studies of individuals hoping to come up with something that they think is going to help somebody. But David says, "I don't have any case study." He said, the Lord is my case study. The Lord is my light. The Lord is that which I use to see everything like it really is. And he's empowered by that. He's encouraged by that. And so he says here, the Lord is my light. And the second thing he makes the declaration of salvation. The declaration of salvation. This is something that I think will help you. I notice here he did not say the Lord. He doesn't talk about the Lord saving him. He says the Lord is his salvation. There's a difference in being saved and then something being your salvation. You know, if right now the building was on fire and we were enclosed, like all the walls were on fire and we were in jeopardy, and we thought, man, there's nowhere to go, and somebody opens up the roof and pulls us out of the fire, that we think we were saved. Why? Because we were pulled away from the imminent danger, the distress, the discouragement, whatever the case may be. But David says, you know, David, he could be in the same fire, and he says, I've got salvation already. It's the Lord, you know. And so he rests in that salvation, and that's a lot more powerful. And if you think about the magnitude of that, the reality of that is, in the lives of different believers that you see in the Bible, you see that in their difficult situations. Hey, they rejoice and they praise. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And because he had salvation, the Lord was his salvation. And David, in the midst of the lion and the bear, you know, he conquered. Why? Because he already had salvation. And in different times, the Hebrew children, when they were instructed to bow down, they had salvation. That's why they didn't have, they said, we're not careful to answer thee, O King. They did not have to think about a response or try to think of how to do something to preserve their life, because they had salvation. And David said, here's, that's the Lord for me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, Psalm 62, he tells us some things about the Lord here. In Psalm 62, and I wrote down here, and I think we already kind of stated, but the situations and circumstances of life did not determine his salvation. It was already settled because of his relationship with God. But in Psalm 62, notice what the psalmist says here. He says, verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my salvation. See, he did say salvation comes from him, but he says he's it. He's already had it. That's why Jesus could tell the disciples that don't rejoice that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your name is written down. And because your name is written down, that means you have eternal life. Where John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ who thou hast sent. A guy asked me today about eternal life, and I expressed to him the reality of knowing God and walking with God, and how salvation is in that personal knowledge of him. But he says, he only is my rock and my salvation. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 3, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Then he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In God is my salvation, and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Then he said, this is so good. He says, listen to what I'm saying. He says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And can you imagine the magnitude of just believing that God is your salvation? Now, we believe we're saved by God. But if you believe that God is your salvation, then that verse that says you are complete in him takes on a different meaning, doesn't it? Because you've got everything, you're saved. Think, why do people have stress? Because they're in some type of situation they like to be saved from or taken out of. Is that right? You know, and yeah, God's not going to save you from calculus, I'm sorry to tell you. She didn't catch me. but God is your salvation. And when you're stressed, you want out of a situation. When I encompass stress, when I allow things to bother me, I'm in something that I'd like some relief from. I'd like to be taken out of. But when I catch the magnitude of this, that God is it. That God is my salvation. And then I think back to that day when I gave my life to Christ and God came inside of me. Man, what more do I need? I have salvation. And then verses like the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. It makes sense because I have salvation. God is it. The portion in him. The strength is in him. And then he says, he's my rock What is a rock? That's something stable to hold you together. And he says, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. You know, if we really understood this, verses like Matthew 6:33 would really take on a whole new meaning. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Me and my son were talking about his future the other day, and I was telling him, you know, and the Lord just kind of brought something to mind. I never even thought about it this way. I said, most people in what we do, we're not meaning for, we're trying to prepare things, young adults for the next stage of life. We're trying to prepare them. We're saying, when people ask you, what are you going to do with your life? Most people, what they're really saying is, how are you going to make money? Because we don't really say those words. But the concern is, what preparation, basically, what steps are you taking to make money to sustain yourself? And I think about back when I was in school, that's pretty much what it was about. How are you going to make money? And they may not have been saying you had to be wealthy or rich, but the common thinking is, what are you going to do to prepare yourself to make some money so you can take care of yourself? Instead of, contrary, what should happen, if the Bible still is true, in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And see, that doesn't, you can't catch that unless you already have salvation. Because people want to be rescued from circumstances. People fear poverty. People fear a difficult situation. People fear struggling. But when God is your salvation, hey, you're complete. You're content. Yeah, because think, if you ever get rescued from something, it's like, whew, man, it's like, hey, it's over. The burden's over. You know, somebody, if you've ever been drowning, pull out of water, once you can breathe again, it's like, I never thought air felt so good, you know, whatever the case may be, you know. And I've never been any near death situation except when I had a car accident. Once I hit a black sheet of ice and I was spinning around and I hit a car, and then once it was over, I was like, my heart went through the windshield after that, because I thought I was in so much control. But I said to think about this, you know, and how that verse has been totally devalued by the necessity, what we call the necessity, of money. And God says, that's not what you need. He says, you need me. And you need me to, and you need to put me first, and so I can add these things into you. I was talking to a gentleman today, and he was saying, he said the greatest curse of society is the national debt. And he said the reason it is because the debt gives you an option outside of God. Because when you want something, need something, instead of waiting on God, you can just get into debt and do it. And which is a good illustration, possibly a good application. But the reality is, you know, we physically know that we need things to survive in this life. But we are his workmanship, created for Christ Jesus for good works. And with him as our salvation, we already are rescued from everything this life has. So then it's easy to say, you know what, Lord, you can just be first. You'll be first, and whatever comes out of that is okay with me, because I've got salvation. I've got you. And such a simple thing, but yet how many people that claim the Lord are actually empowered by that? And then you think about this, think about the powerful life that David had to walk in the death situations and trust the Lord. And look at the disciples in the Bible and the different faithful Bible people that walked into death situations, and they had joy, they had power, they had confidence. I think of Elijah. I mean, there's a drought going on, and the widow woman there said, he said, can you make me a cake? And he said, well, and she tells him, it's pretty bad around here, basically. I have just enough food to go make a cake, and we're just going to make that, and me and my son eat, and then we're going to die. That's not like saying the only thing left in the counter is beans, you know, or something. It's over. This is the last meal. And I'm saying, you know what? That's okay, but just go make me something first. Can you imagine that? That takes some bold confidence in the Lord, you know, to know where you're at and to know that there'll be the rest in that situation and trust God for that. And then here it is, the barrel didn't waste, the cruise didn't fail. God provides the needs because she did Matthew 6:33. She trusted God first. And you think about it, how many, can you imagine? Think of how many decisions people make to where God becomes second, and they're not even in that dire of a situation. God has put it on the shelf to take care of what we, well, would we agree that the widow had a legitimate need? She needed some food, right? I mean, there's no other option. She's a widow, number one. There's nothing else left except for this one bit of food for last meal. And today, nobody here, we wouldn't have begrudged her any type of way at all of saying, you know what, Elijah, I'm sorry, but you got to do something different. You know? I can't, you know, I got to take care of my family before you. But there was a difference there. It was, she was trusting the Lord. And because of that, she got to experience the reality of God doing for her what she could not do for herself. Can you imagine? This is, you think about the, amazing this, you know, going to that barrel every day. I mean, she didn't have to go labor for it. I mean, think about it. That was better than before the famine, if you think about it. Because I'm sure, I mean, if there's barley or grain, what she did some type of task or some type of labor to go earn some type of money, or her son did, to make grain or barley. But all she had to do was just, because in when she was totally helpless, she trusted God, all she did was get in the morning and go to the barrel. I mean, I always think about that, because I don't think that'd be exciting, you know, because it'd be exciting and scary. You know, you got your barrel there, you know, and you know what the prophet said, because I don't know how, you know, 3 years had rained. Can you imagine after a couple of weeks, you know, and you think, I know it's been going on a couple of weeks, but I don't see anything left in there, really. And you kind of go and you kind of, you ever unwrap a gift, you kind of look at the corner, then you kind of stop for a minute. And so you kind of peek a little bit, and you can see the top. You can't really see anything yet, you know, because you're afraid to really look all the way to the bottom, because it just might not be something in there. And then all of a sudden, you can't take it anymore. You go, woo! Food, breakfast, again. You know, imagine what that would be like, you know. But think of where she had to get to be where that's at, to be able to say, you know what, God, I believe you. I'm just going to trust you. And these people in the Bible, when they got to that place again, because of her trust in God, she was able to have God do something for her what she could not do for herself. Now, last thing we see about David in the Psalms, in his declaration of a servant, we see his declaration of strength. His declaration of strength. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, as far as when it comes to strength, he says, I'm it. I really believe that's part of the reason God has us to get, allows us to get old. I know people like myself that like to do and like to do things and like to work. We have to get old so we can start facing reality that this earthly physical strength doesn't last forever. You know, we have to start thinking about, okay, God, I need you. You know, I like to say that I'm spiritual enough to where I just understand it and completely catch it by faith. But because I have a few aches and pains that I used to have and some things going on, I start thinking about, you know, God, I need a little more help than I thought I did, you know, and I need you to strengthen me. And David says something here. He doesn't say, and now I know the other verses that talk about the Lord being his helper. But here, he says the Lord is the strength of my life. He's not part of it, but he's it. And if you think about the difference of that, the Lord being the strength and not just to help you, that's pretty powerful. Because, like I've illustrated before, if I want to go shopping with somebody, I'd rather go with somebody else's bank account instead of mine. I'd rather go with somebody that's got a lot more money, you know, because then I know, what's the guy? Who's the guy that owns Apple? Anybody know? Whoever his name is. The guy who owns Apple, whoever he is. I assume he's a billionaire or a millionaire or something, you know. Is it Steve Jobs or something like that? Or? Pardon? He's dead? Okay, well, somebody's got the money. Relatives do or something, you know. Or who's the guy? Who's the Microsoft guy? He's rich too. Bill Gates, thank you. So Bill Gates and if I want to go somewhere, I'd like to say, hey, Bill Gates' bank account is my bank account. That would be pretty nice. If you needed a car, guess what? All you would have a car for Christmas, you know? Hey, whatever you needed, you would have it. If Bill Gates' bank account was my bank account. I mean, that'd be that good. So I just make a list, you know. You don't have to be good, just make a list. What you need now. You can't have a jet. No, I don't know what you're thinking, Richard. But think of how empowering that would be compared to where we are now. If anybody here is rich as Bill Gates and you're holding out, just let me know. But assuming that nobody here is that rich tonight, think of how that would change your life right now. I mean, assuming sold out, I'm not just saying stuff you would do, but Brother David, you work a lot of hours. I mean, imagine what you would do as far as just being with your family, whatever changes you'd make, just physical strength. Other people that are working a long job, long hours, difficult situation, how you could just focus on the gospel and just do whatever you wanted to do for the Lord. I mean, it would change because there would be some things at your disposal that were not at your disposal before. There would be some things that you were limited to that you're not limited to right now. There would be some people you could help that you can't currently help. Now, David says this. He says, now, the Lord is the strength of my life. So that means when it comes to if I need strength, if I'm a servant of God, I think the Bible says that for the saved person, we're joint heirs with Christ. So that would mean that God's strength is I share with God's strength. Now, it's not under me to do what I want to do with it, but I'm, as a servant of His, as I follow Him, guess what? Those limitations that would normally be my limitations are no longer there because the Lord is the strength of my life. Just like Mary conceiving a child of the Holy Ghost, in result, the angel says, hey, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I mean, nothing should be impossible. Why? And David, because the Lord is the strength of my life. A ruddy youth killing a lion and a bear with his bare hands. Why? Because the Lord was the strength of his life. Now, we like to think maybe, I don't know what people like to think is. Maybe he trained as a ninja or something, you know, to where he could know how to disarm the bear or the lion, you know. He had great physical strength and preparation to where, and maybe he ate some unusual herb that gave him supernatural strength because, you know, we were stronger back then because we had healthier diets and vegetation, you know. That's how we reason away that things. No, he just had the Lord. And the Lord was the strength of his life. And so what would normally be an impossible situation, because of the purpose, again, him being in tune with God's purpose and plan for his life, the supernatural automatically becomes natural because the Lord was the strength of his life. And him going in to take on the giant was not something he had to work up a lot of courage for, because the Lord was the strength of his life. You know, like if somebody needs a car tonight and you said, Pastor, would you give me a car? I'd be like, whoa, okay. I've got some obstacles. But again, I go back. If I find out suddenly that Bill Gates' bank account is my bank account, then guess what? Those obstacles don't exist. Now, the Lord being the strength of my life, then I have to find out, well, Lord, what is that you, where do you want me to follow you? And he shows me, and well, Lord, you know that's impossible for me. He said, yeah, I know, but it's not impossible for me. And so the Lord being the strength, not a strength, it changes absolutely. How do you think in salvation, repentance and remission, and how does God free you from sin? Because it's not based on your strength. It's based on His strength. How does God cleanse you and wash you away to where when you stand before Christ, you're justified? There's no condemnation in Christ. How? Why? Because it's not based on your strength. It's based on His strength. And David says, the Lord is the strength of my life. You know, again, how did the disciples stand boldly before judges and magistrates and Pharisees and Sadducees and proclaim Christ and be in jail and beaten, and which would for the average person be depressing, discouraging situations? The Lord was the strength of their life. And so they were able to do that which was beyond their normal abilities because the Lord was their strength. And they're not a strength. Now, in Psalm 62, we'll read the last few verses of it. In Psalm 62, we read part of it. We see something else that talks about the strength of the Lord. But verse 9, in Psalm 62, it says, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. So you take the high and the low, it's lighter than vanity. So if you're esteeming to be like someone you think is high, you're esteeming to be lighter than vanity. and your value some based on low, you're still lighter than vanity. I mean, it doesn't matter. So your value doesn't come from being high or low. It comes from being the Lord being the strength of your life. Because some have seem to have some vision and purpose because they aspire to be like somebody high. Some seem to be beat down and low because they think they can't do anything. And both are going to head for a result that is lighter than vanity, except for the servant of God that follows God. And he just goes wherever God tells him to go. And when God tells him to come, just like Peter walking in the water. You know, why? Why could he do that? Because the Lord was the strength of his life. How could he do something that no man would dare to do? Hey, Lord, if it be thou, would you just bid me to come? How would a centurion say, you know, when he asked for his son to be healed, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to even abide in my roof. Just speak the word only, and he'll be healed. Just speak the word, and it'll be done. So it says in verse 10, trust not in oppression. And become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And see, this is good if you think about the context where this is written, because people think that riches are power. And it's not. Power belongs to God. Because you think about it. No amount of money can buy peace. No amount of money can buy rest. I mean, really, how much money would you have to be able to trust God? There'd never be enough. And how much of anything would you have to be able to trust God? There's not enough because your eyes would be on something else. But if you believe that power belongs to him, then you just need to be with the one that has the power. And then combine that with the fact, if you're serving the God, knowing that God is love, hey, that's a pretty good life. You're with him? Hey, then since God is love, it's a pretty good thing that God is light. It's okay for God to define the things that the way things really are here. And that's not very good for your ego to say that the high and low are lighter than vanity, but that's okay. That means we don't, the Bible says, cursed to be the man that trusted in man, that maketh flesh his arm, so we don't trust in man. So praise God. God's the light. We accept that as it is, and so we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, God is my salvation. It's not the circumstances. He said, it's just him. It's just him. I've got him. So yeah, I can rejoice in a given moment, you know. Can you imagine it? Like around the building's on fire, you know? Right again, the building's on fire right now. And then I said, man, that's everybody, people are panicking. And I'm just sitting down for the Harper. They're opening the roof and anybody's panicking. And all of a sudden we see the roof open up and say, oh man, we're going to be saved. I said, no, I already am saved. I already am saved. And that's the way it is. That's the way it's meant to be with you and I in the world. The world's coming in glue because of this thing, situation, this government thing, this war, this tragedy. Said, no, I'm already saved. I've got salvation. So it's already settled, and so then I can be the stabilizing force, and you and I can be the stabilizing force that leads people to Jesus Christ. Because, you know, again, if the building was on fire and there was an entrance in the back or something, only one exit, the one person going to lead everybody out is a person that's calm, right? They realize, you know, it didn't really matter. You know, I'm already saved anyway, so I'll get it saved. In fact, does not the Bible say that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us? That would kind of mean that God is our salvation, you know, because we already won, you know. And, you know, it's neat watching children, you know, and the kids play that whatever rock, paper, scissors, you know, and Morgan has no idea about the game, you know. But he wins every time. He's a self-proclaimed winner. You know, and thank you, Lord. And this is so good. You know what the crazy thing about it is? Somebody could tell him he lost, and because of his childlike belief, no one could convince him otherwise. That's good, isn't it? Anybody catch that? Hey, except you become as little children, you shall not see the kingdom of God. And what would happen if we just took this tonight and let the Lord define our light, and the world thinks we're crazy because we're letting God define everything and be everything, and when everybody else is flying off the handle, we've got the salvation of the Lord, and we accept and believe and rest in God as our salvation. It doesn't matter if we're rescued from this, it doesn't matter if we're rescued from that. We've got salvation. And I said, man, don't you realize your life is falling apart? No, it's not. I've got salvation. Don't you realize that the world is coming to an end? No, it's not mine. It's going to be just beginning. I've got salvation. In fact, it's already good now, because in the midst of all this darkness, you know, man, I got joy. I've got peace. I've got goodness. I've got temper. I got faith. Why? Because of the life in Christ. When God said, I need you to do this, he said, man, that's impossible. They said, yeah, I know, but just use my bank account. I got it. I never forget when I first read Tom Williams, his evangelist. He preached on prayer. And he was on a trip to Israel, and his wife fell deathly ill, caught some type of disease or something that was there, and she never recovered from it. But overnight, he had thousands of doctor bills. And I think that one went to talk to the person in the office, and I think one day, in like 3 days, he needed like $10,000 or $15,000, but it was some amount of money behind him. And he said, the lady talking to Mr. Williams, do you have any insurance? He said, no, I don't. He said, well, how are you going to take care of this? He said, well, my father is very rich. And like 2 days later, somebody called him, sent him like $15,000 or something. And it was just a flood of miracles that just happened. You know, they just took care of situation after situation after situation. And just resting. He goes over and preaches on prayer. In fact, he's going to be preaching at the men's thing I sent you the email about in January. And just resting in the Lord, you know. And imagine how different and actually how biblical your life would be if you made that same faith declaration. Now, intellectually, we know these things are true. But I'm saying, if tonight we leave here, really, the Lord is our light. We hold God up as a light, and absolutely everything is measured and judged and determined by Him. Everything. And then we say, the Lord is my salvation. I mean, right now, let's get back to the light. There's some personal goals in this room would change if that was really the case. There's some direction that some of us are heading, we'd change if that was really the case. And some would just be enhanced. Some would be confirmed that we're heading the right direction that God wants us to head. And then we say, the Lord is my salvation. A lot of stress would be relieved in this room. A lot of burdens that are carried would just be over with if we said, the Lord is my salvation. I mean, I've got it. I'm already saved. Anybody remember what it's like to be saved? Did you have some burdens really moved? You're like, woo! You know, I still had bills after I got saved, but it didn't matter. I still had problems. And guess what? I still had issues with me that needed to be changed, that needed to be purged, that needed to grow. There's things with me that still need to be changed, but because of the impact of that salvation, it was okay. It didn't matter. And there's still issues with me that need to change. I still need to grow, and I'm still trying to become more like Jesus Christ. But you know what? If I just catch this, man, if he really meant what he said, if the Holy Ghost really meant what he said when he wrote that down, he said, God's it. He said, I'm not looking for anything else. I've got it. And then, again, the Holy Ghost confirmed it by saying, ye are complete in Him. In Him, and not in Him in a positive set of circumstances, but just in Him. And then he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. That means, okay, go back to the light. like the Lord, the word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Okay, the light says I need to walk through that wall right now. And this is a silly illustration, obviously, because there's no verse for that, you know. But if the light says that, because the Lord is my strength, then I'm going through the wall. In whatever case it be, going, well, Bible said to love your enemies. Well, but Pastor Harper, you don't know my enemies. No, I don't, but I know the one who's the strength. And you know him too, and so that means you can love him. The Lord says all things are possible to him that believeth. But Pastor Harper, you don't know my situation. Yeah, I know, but I know the strength of the situation. You just need a positive declaration, not just to say it because it's said, but you believe it. Hey, this is it. And there again, when the Lord is the light, the way by which you illuminate, your steps and everything determined, you know what you really need. You see, right now, many of us, and I say many of us, I don't sometimes really know exactly what I need. And I have burdens and I have things that I'm weighted down with, and I think, and it didn't seem like anything's coming through. Because I got to get back to the evaluation of the light. I get back to just being salvation. That means I can, and thank you, Lord. You know what the greatest thing about God being your salvation? That means every person can be in the will of God. You know why? Because then in everything you'll give thanks. Because this is the will of God in Christ. Because you've got it. Hey, you've got salvation. In everything you will give thanks. And so you're in the will of God. And so then being in the will of God, then you can submit to the light and trust the light. And then all of a sudden, the light says, hey, this is what I need you to do. And the Lord is your strength. All of a sudden, well, Lord, I trust you. It's like the widow woman again. The crazy prophet shows up and looking, thinking about her son. Man, you think that'd be tough for a mother. I mean, already believing they're going to have their last meal. And stranger shows up and says, well, I need you to give it to me first. The Lord said he'll take care of you, but just give it to me. Okay. I'd love to have been there, wouldn't you? Just the next morning, if nothing else, you know. I mean, the other days have been okay, but that next morning, waking up, you know, and I mean, well, actually, because they obviously ate together because he ate and there was enough to make meal of food that day. But then the next day going up, man, how did he do that? Well, how that happened? See, it helps you see the Bible in 3D, you know. Well, actually, I see it in HD. Oh, HG, the Holy Ghost D. And you see it and you're like, whoa. And it all because, you know what? The Lord is the strength. I would imagine, since this is in the Bible and this is meant to be preached tonight, there's some people here that need some direction. They need some illumination. Maybe struggling a little bit, don't have the vision. You know, where there's no vision, the people perish, you know. Maybe somebody here tonight feels like they're a sinking ship. Just going down, like, what's next? Sinking. Till you see that, and you see that light. And the Lord is the light. Would you just talk to him about it and let God be the light again? And ask God to allow you to see your world, or the world he set before you, the way he wants you to see it. And then, there's some people here that are moved by earthly situations. And you're continually looking for a better situation so you can finally enjoy life. If I can just get this, it'll be better. If I can just, I don't mean get something, but if this will just happen, then man, my life will finally be, and you're just wishing, and God says, you know what, it's just me. He says, it's just me. Imagine there's somebody that just say, you know what, Lord, I remember what it was like when you saved me. And I think you said you gave me eternal life. Lord, I rest in you as my salvation. I know you saved me, but Lord, I rest in you tonight as my salvation. I thank you for giving me you and and you're enough. That's be kind of like what we talked on Sunday, the wise man, when he whoso heareth the saying of mine and doeth them. He's like a man who built his house on a rock, the winds come and floods, and the house isn't even moved. With the Lord is your salvation. And then I would imagine there's some tired people in here. Tired and fearful. The tired have been doing it in their own strength, and there's just nothing left in the tank. And that could go back to the light. You know, because something we can see, you know, like I said, the light affects us a couple different ways, you know. We either turn on the light and say, wow, we can see what we really want to see. Or it's like the person that wakes up in the morning when you turn the light up, like, oh man, shut that off. You don't want to, and when it hits you like that, it's not a blessing to you. And the reaction is you just close up, you know, and you turn over so you don't have to see it. But then you got the labor in your own strength. And those people that are fearful, God giving them the light, and they see what's before them, but not resting that salvation. They're not going there because they can't see how they're going to get it done. And so they're tired. You know what I find? You know what the amazing thing is? You know, like last trip I was driving, it was 16 hours. You know, it's amazing that how tired your body can get by just sitting still. And I was amazed, you know, I mean, I know it's better than walking 1,100 miles, but just sitting still, I'm amazed how exhausted I got. And even in getting out of the car, and maybe it's just my age, but I've seen my boys get out of the car and just can't even hardly move. And actually, because of sitting still, and you get out and it's painful to get up and move. And it's because the car was doing it and there's no strength working through you. See, the car has a strength, but see, God's strength is meant to work through us. So when God works through us, He builds us and He strengthens us. Again, because all those, that fruit grows, the love, the joy, the meekness, the goodness, temperance of faith. Well, how do the things grow? They have to be in situations where they're manifested. You know, how do you get more patience? You have to be in some situation where you need some patience. How did the widow woman's faith increase in God? She had nothing. How does your faith increase? Well, by having nothing and being in some situations. How do you love more? Being with somebody that's hard to love. How do you have more joy? Being in situations that for the normal person, they would not have joy in that situation. And so the manifested power of Christ within you is shown. Wow, there must be something to this. Because anybody can be happy in calm, earthly situation. But search your heart tonight. God wants to be. See, God is such a loving God. You know, Satan will try to condemn someone or try to make somebody think that I'm beating down somebody when, man, I'm trying to lift you up. And not and just because God told me to. and God lifted me up through it. You know, thinking, wow, you know what? This is pretty good. You know, my light. No, He's it. You know, it's easy to let my own self get clouded by responsibilities and things like that. And Lord, just whatever the light is says to do. Lord, You're my salvation. Not whether this goes well or that goes well. Man, You're it, Lord. And then in the darkness, You have the light to lead people out of the way. And then you have the strength to be anything that God wants you to be. And that's the best thing you could ever be. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. Thank You for these precious, precious people that have come together tonight for Thy name's sake. Lord, I just ask.